So that we yesterday did Agdama, and today we can jump into this. We can jump into the Mizmar very quickly. So let's begin. It's on page 548, Mizmar Samach Dalet 64. Lamatzech Soyid. Oh, excellent. Soyid Hashem Liriyev. Excellent. Pesach. Soyid Hashem Liriyev. Soyid Samach Dalet. Page 548. 548, Lanatzech, Mizmar David, 548, Samach Dalet, Lanatzech, Mizmar David, Shema Elokim, Koli, Visichi, Mipachad, Oyev, Tisor Chayoi. Guard, Hashem, listen to my voice, Visichi, when I speak, from the Pachad of the enemy, guard my life, Pasuk Gimel, Tastireini, Misoid, Miriam, guard me. Hide me, conceal me, protect me, shelter me from the counsel, from the plans of the evildoers. May rikshas pole oven from the rebellion, or from the gathering of the evildoers. Pasik dalid, asher shadunu chacherev leshanam. They have sharpened their tongue like the edge of a sword, tip of a sword. Darchu chitzam davar mor. They dip their tips of the arrow in poison. Lirois bamistarim tom, to shoot. Poison pen letters. What do you mean by that? The tip of the pen is poison?
What's written in them is...
It's poison. Nastiness. Pasek hey, lirois bamistarim tom, to shoot an arrow bamistarim secretly. They shoot their arrows in a bunker in Arizona.
Snipers.
Or a sniper, the shooter is in hiding. And who do they aim to harm? The tom, the innocent, the wholesome, the good people. Pisam yairuhu velo yirohu. They shoot suddenly, there's no warning. The evil people, they don't even give a warning what they're about to do. And velo yirohu, they're not afraid of anything. Yichazku lamoy davara. They strengthen to themselves evil. Yisapru litmoin, they speak litmoin maikshim to hide their traps. Litmoin, they put their traps in the secret location where the innocent have no warning that if they step on this location, they're going to be blown to smithereens. They hide their traps in the secret location. Amru, they say, Miyir elan lamoy. Who is going to see what we do? We can do whatever we want. The arrogance of these wicked people is beyond belief.
So, they are hidden and their traps are hidden? Is that what you're saying?
They are hidden, their traps are hidden, and they trigger their harm secretly. Everything about them is in secret. You make a very good point. There is a very strong emphasis in these psukim about hiding, about anonymity, about being completely behind the scenes. This is completely, they're completely hidden. The people, the criminals, their identity is hidden. The traps are hidden, and they shoot and they trigger, they trigger their harm also secretly. Everything is done in secret from beginning to end. And let's see the Mefarshim.
Yeah. Anonymously.
Anonymously. As opposed to open warfare, where you can identify who is your enemy, what is his name, what is, you know exactly when there used to be glory in, we will, the psukim, that there was a meeting. You make an appointment when to go to battle. Meet us on the battlefield at 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon.
High noon,
we will come with our army, and you will come with your army, and the best nation will win, and whoever wins takes all the spoils. That's how war was done in ancient times. And in fact, it says about one of the nations, I forgot, that he always missed the appointment. He would schedule wars, battles with other nations, I forgot who it was, and he was a coward. And the last minute, he did not show up to the war because he knew he would be defeated. War, in some situations, was done. It was a very public affair. You come in beautiful uniforms.
There are rules of war. There was honor among...
honor, and there was a battlefield, and everyone was identifiable by a uniform, especially even the Civil War and the war against in the United States, against the War of Independence against the British. They wore these colorful uniforms. You can identify who is the enemy, who are your people. You fight in a public, open location. And that was war. That's how war was conducted, sometimes. And then over here we have situations where we have cowards, arrogant people who have no Yiras Elokim, nothing. And they, everything that they do to bring harm and to get their way is done secretly. No one knows who they are. They don't identify themselves. Their techniques, their methods are completely anonymous and secret, all to get what they want, to achieve their results, anonymously. And they say, no one sees us, no one knows, they have no Yirah Shamayim. Okay, this is, let's take a look over here at the Mitzudah David, this entire page. Pasuk, I'm going to try to pick up some speed there. We did the Hakdamah, the Mitzudah David, Pasuk Beis Shmalikim Kali. Amrez, so we did this already, yes, let's go to the next section. Visichi. Be'eis asaper tilo oisai. David says, when I relate my complaint, David over here is complaining about these wicked people. Mipachad oyev. We have to remember, according to the Mitzudos we're discussing over here, David over here is giving a prophecy, what's going to be with Doniel ish chamudos. Mipachad oyev. Heim sari melech dor yovesh. These are the servants of the king of Daryovesh. Daryovesh ha Parsi. Okay, Daryovesh ha Parsi, not Hamodi. We didn't go dealing over here with. No, Daryovesh is second. Daryovesh ha Modi was before. That was at the tail end. We're dealing over here during when Daniel was thrown into a this by Nebuchadnezzar. So dealing with the second, we're dealing here. Oh, you're right. Okay, you are correct. We're dealing over here with Daryovish the first. So Daryovish Hamadi. Okay, you're right. I'm getting confused again with the support that says it was the time of Haman. I'm sorry. We're dealing with Daryovish when he was thrown into the den of lions. This was before the Purim miracle. Before the Purim miracle, there was no Daryovish. This was Daryovish Hamadi. He was the father-in-law of Koresh. Right? He was the father-in-law of Koresh. I'm getting all confused with my history. Let's read a little bit over here. We'll see. Be'eis asabit tilo isib, but mipachad oyev him sori melech Daryovish. Misoid pasuk gimel, misoid. Me'atzas horoshoyim sori hamelech, me'rikshas me'akibut shekubitzu yachad l'hisyoyitz badavar. They all gathered together to plan to bring harm. Okay, let's go further. Shonanu, they sharpened their tongues. Shonanu, chididu l'shoynam b'kachedev l'havish isi. Bene HaMelech, they all conspired. There was a whole group of people. So we're not dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. We're dealing here with much later. Nebuchadnezzar, we're dealing over here almost 70 years late. We're dealing over here 52 years later, right? 52 years later from the time of the Churban. And we're dealing with Nebuchadnezzar is long gone. Nebuchadnezzar is dead. Then came Evel Meroidach. And then came Belshazzar. And then Belshazzar was defeated by Daryovish Hamadi, the Medians. And Daryovish Hamadi was the father-in-law of Koresh, the king of Paras. And they had an alliance. So, sorry? Daryovish Hamadi was assassinated. Belshazzar, that was the night, that was the transition. That night, the handwriting on the wall. There were three generations, Pashas, there were three generations, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, and then Belshazzar had a child who was his daughter, really another generation, the Vashti. Vashti. So we're dealing over here, these are the main players. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Evel Meroidach, and his son Belshazzar, and Belshazzar's daughter Vashti. It was 70 years since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, on that very night, there are three different 70s. 70 years from the time of the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, there was 70 years from the time of the Golus Yehoyachin, that's the 70 years in that story, the Golus of Yehoyachin, that was 11 years before the Churban, and then there was another 70 years from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There are 370s. 70 from the time of Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, 70 from the time of the Golos Yehoyachin, and 70 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now on this night, they were in the palace. It was 70 years, I believe, from the Golos, from the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. There was a 70, this was the first 70. The 70 of the, because the Achashverosh made a calculation, 70 years from the Golos of Yehoyachin. Getting a little bit confused, but I think that was the 70. So right now, this was the 70 years from the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. Right. And nothing is doing. The Jewish people are in Golos, and there's no hope for them. So Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, he made a big party in his palace. And at that party, he took out the big day kahuna. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he was frolicking about in his palace, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and his little daughter was playing around over there as well. And at that moment in time, there was a mysterious handwriting on the wall, and the handwriting on the wall said, I forgot the words, you know these words by heart, Minei, Tekelu Farsin, which means your time is up. Hashem has made a calculation. Yes.
This week talked about whether Malachim understand Aramaic. And I made the point that who wrote on the wall? Because the
right.
Gemara does not mention that. But it's Gabriel who was writing on the
And that was one of the answers.
So he's the exception. Well, I made that point the first time.
Excellent. Excellent. He was the exception. Gavriel, he knows Gavriel because how do you know Gavriel? Because of Yosef.
Yeah,
Gavriel taught Yosef the 70 languages. And who was the one who wrote the handwriting on the wall in Aramaic? It was Gavriel. And also, not only that, there's also another point that where I learned that film, we pointed out, is that it was written in for the first time in Ksav Ashuris. Now, Ksav Ashuris is sacred. No one's going to deny that. But Ksav Ashuris also carries the name of Ashur. They brought up this language, they brought up this script from the nation of Ashur. So we have over here two foreign languages. You have Aramaic, the combination of Aramaic that is written in a script. Until this point of time, they were using the Ksav Ivri. And now there was a transition to the Ksav Ashuri. Now, even though Ksav Ashuri we know is sacred, it's Kodesh Kodashim, even to a different dimensions, even greater than Ksav Ivri, but it somehow, Ksav Ashuri, for some reason, it is associated with a foreign nation, Ashur. And Sancheriv, he was the king of the nation of Ashur, which was the world power of the day, and he exiled the Jewish people to the land of Ashur, just like Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people to Babel. And we have the Romans exile the Jews to Rome. So there is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever the reason is, he's somehow incorporating into our holy language script, Ksav Ashuris, the name of Ashur. It is forever associated with our exile in Golos, in the land of Ashur, which was a little bit surprising. Because you would think that the Torah is Kodesh Kodashim and everything about the Torah should be purely from Eretz Yisrael. There should be absolutely no mention of anything that is secular intermingled into our language. Yet, you study more, you learn that's not true. There's a lot of Greek, Yafta Lekim Liyefes V'yishkoim Bo Leshem. There's a lot of Aramis, and there is a lot, and the whole script itself is rooted, for whatever the reason, in Ashur. And Bavel, you know, Bavel, even the names of the Chodoshim, the names of the months are also called by Babylonian names that are secular names. So there's a lot of integration of secular things into the Torah. Toitophos is poit and pat. These are African words. And then there's also Bechlau, the whole word tefillin, toitophos, some say tefillin is Egyptian. There are a lot of different things in Chazal that tell us really come from Mitzrayim. For example, on Yom HaKippur, when the Kohen Gadol went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the linen that was procured to make the clothing to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim came from Egypt. You would think linen from Egypt? if the clothing of the Kohen Gadol should wear when he comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim should be from Eretz Yisrael. But no, the clothing that he wore was from Mitzrayim. So there's so many different elements in Yadus, is where we are incorporating into the Torah HaKadosha different elements that are what would appear to be secular. Mitzrayim, Greek, Yaflokim Liefes.
Okay, but there are no Greek words. Not until the Mishnah.
Okay, it's not so simple there are no Greek words. I don't remember, but okay, I don't remember. We have Afriki, African words. Yeah, we definitely have Yaft Elokim Liefes. We have Aramaic, Yigar Sohadusa. There are other things. So there's a lot of integration of Ksav Ashuris. Okay.
Is there an ancient language expert on the line, or not at this time?
Okay, so
all the languages originally derived from Hebrew.
They're rooted, okay. But there's still this shame, the name of secular societies and secular cultures is still very much present to a degree in certain elements of Yadus. That itself requires a lot of understanding and explanation. We think that we're totally independent and we completely separate, we mavdil between us and anything that is secular. You see, that's not necessarily the case, and of course it has to be understood in the proper context. Any event, going back over here to the Yavish, we over here, that was that fateful night that Belshazzar was making a party, Rabbi Shulman, good morning, a frilch and a Pesach Sheni, a good Shabbos. We have over here that fateful night. Belshazzar claimed it's now been 70 years. Yirmiya, and give a prophecy that after 70 years the Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael, and nothing is doing. The Jewish people are in exile more than ever. So therefore, it must be proof positive that Yirmiyahu's prophecy was canceled, or it wasn't true to begin with. And he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he celebrated that very night on the 70th anniversary of the rise of Nebuchadnezzar to power. And on that night, suddenly on the wall appeared the handwriting in the script of Ksav Ashuris, and Belshazzar was terrified. Chazal say his mazel, even though al pid chochma, nothing was wrong, but his mazel, there was a certain sensitivity in his soul that sensed something is not right. And they asked all of the wise men of his palace to explain what this means. Go call in all the experts, and all the king's men, all the king's horses, men, couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. No one knew the answer to this question. So what did he do? They called Daniel. He always knew the answer to everything. The Jew boy, he knew everything. Daniel Ish Chamudos, and he told him, "You're done. You're toast. It's all over for you. Your time has come. You're finished." And sure enough, that very, very moment, it was a surprise attack by the alliance, the joint alliance of two nations, Modai and Paras. Two nations, Paras and Modai. Sometimes we say in the order of Paras and Modai. And sometimes the order is Modai Uparas. Good question, why we switch sometimes?
They're equal
partners. And what was the deal? The deal was...
One was king and one was the prime minister.
One was the king. Well, like in Israel, you have the prime minister and you have the president. There was going to be a balance of power between these two nations, but there's going to be an alliance between them. And at this moment in time, the one that led was Modai. Who was Modai? Who was Daryovesh HaModi. Daryovesh Amadi, and he had a son-in-law, the Edom. The Edom was Koresh, and he was the king of Paras. And they led the attack, the assault, and it was a brilliant assault, and it was in the middle of the night, and in one shot, it's a shocking thing. A nation who is currently the world superpower, Bavel, and it came to an end in a flash. It's unprecedented. I mean, just a shocking thing. Can you shine that it just ended in a second? They launched a surprise attack, and they were able to come in and they wiped out the entire leadership of this country, of Bavel, that was at this party. If you want to see an incredible description of how they were able to pull this off, they stopped publishing. I don't know why he stopped publishing, but there was a wonderful kuntres called Kankan. And I don't know why. No, he saw a lot. You can get the copies, but they stopped putting out. He stopped putting out new stuff. He already stopped for a couple of years. He just disappeared. And one of those volumes, it is a spectacular article with enormous research explaining exactly what happened, how Daryovesh Hamadi was able to just, in a moment, able to attack and undetected and wipe out the entire leadership of Bavel in one night. Explain there in detail exactly what happened. It has to do with one of the leaders. The one of the leaders was a woman. We only talk about three generations. We talk about Nebuchadnezzar, Eval Moroidach, and Belshazzar. And then number four, we talk about Vashti. There was really two more people in between, which no one talks about. And one of them was a woman. There was a leader. The Bavel was led by a woman for a period of time. And this woman, the Elam, what was the capital? What was the capital of Bavel? In Elam. And in the city Elam, she did a renovation project. It's very, very sophisticated, brilliant renovation project. And that project is really did themselves in. It created a loophole, a secret tunnel or path where, when the conditions are right, an enemy can easily penetrate the country. So this woman, and no one even talks about her, this woman, when she redesigned the city and they did this major renovation to the city of Elam, it basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was buried the Refu Kaid in the Makkah, she created a vulnerability without everyone realizing it that would later be exploited by the nation of Madai to easily attack and obliterate. It's Kedai, I have to find, I could even have it over here on the shelf in the back, this article. It's worthy to read and study this article. It gives you an entirely new appreciation of how the end of the Malchus of Bavel came to an end, and that fateful night when the handwriting appeared on the wall. Now, when this handwriting appeared on the wall, so he was elevated. So after they were conquered, Daniel was just transferred. He didn't kill Daniel. They didn't look at Daniel as to be a, they valued him to be a very valuable person. And the government of Paras Umadai, they took him for one of their officers. You know, it's a terrible tragedy. People don't talk about this after the war. People know about this. 60 Minutes, they did a whole expose on this 100 years ago. And there was Megala, all these secrets, all these things, is that after the war, this World War II, there was basically an effort by the Russians and by the Americans to grab all of the German scientists. After World War II, they were desperate. United States, it was the Cold War was beginning, and they were desperate. Each country was desperate. They had the greatest minds, the German scientists. Even Ad Hayom HaZeh, they've done things that we still cannot figure out what they did. I once saw a documentary, how they built, they had technology that we still don't have not yet caught up to. They were in the process of developing new technology, and they have, in fact, in a fighter jet. And Ad Hayom HaZeh, the Americans, and they do not know, they cannot replicate some of the inventions, some of the weapons that the Germans were developing. And it's already 75 years, or even more. And they cannot figure out, the German scientists who were working on the war effort for the Germans, they were way ahead in technology than even today. And the Americans knew this, and the Russians knew this, and they bribed them, and they secretly sent out, you know, units of special forces to capture these people, to capture them and keep them alive and bring them to the United States, or to bring them to Germany or to Russia, give them a new identity, and they should secretly work in the laboratories and help each respective country develop weapons of mass destruction. And nothing, the more things change, the more, and this was all, there's a big thing about this, and they always write about, who always talks about this, in Ami magazine, John, how do you never pronounce his name, Loftus. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Loftus. He always writes about this. He always writes about this, is this thing, and he always talks about that he was the one who did it in 60 Minutes to expose the crimes of... They went and the crimes, how they took these Nazis and these wicked people.
He was involved in
this, and he was the one who exposed. He was the whistleblower. He always writes about this. He's always into this. And the truth is, the more things change, the more they stay the same. When Dariovish HaMadi conquered Bavel, he didn't kill everyone. They were very selective. They killed, obviously, Belshazzar, and they killed his family, but they didn't kill everyone. And the Daniel Ish HaMudos, they had a file on him. You're not going to get a guy like this. You're not going to find someone like Daniel. They kept him alive. You work for us now. We're going to put all of your talent to work for us, for the new regime. And they kept him. And they elevated him to a very, very high position. And the Tsarim were extremely jealous. Here we are, we're working for Dariovish HaMadi all of these years, and now you find a guy off the street and you elevate him above us. There was incredible jealousy and rivalry that they elevated this Jew. I'm sure that he was a Jew, didn't help the situation, the anti-Semitism, and there was rivalry, and they attempted to undermine Daniel wherever he went. And that's pretty much what this Mizmor is saying, is that when Dariovish, the Medina, and the Persians took over, became the new world power, and they grabbed all the talent and successful people from the previous regime, the Tsarim from the old, of they were just jealous, plain Pasha jealous, and they couldn't deal with Daniel. So they secretly tried to undermine him, but Dariovish didn't want that. Was a supporter of Daniel, because Dariovish needed him. He needed him to do his work. But the Tsarim, who were over, they were passed over, they were very jealous, and they wanted to bring harm. And that's what it's saying of all of these people. They're secretly, behind the back of Dariovish, trying to take out Daniel. That's the gist of what the Mitzvot Tov is really saying over here. Pasuk Gimel again, the Mitzvot Tov, Mitzvot Atzas HaRishoyim Shori HaMelech Meirikshas MeHaKibutz Shekufsu Yachad LeHisyoyitz Badavar. This, like I told you, this is the deep state. These agencies, they all got together and they started working for serving themselves. Let's use all of our power and tools to get rid of Daniel. We're jealous of him. They tried to slander, to always make Daniel look bad. Can you imagine, you know, to appreciate this, you have in the United States, so you have over here the president has a vice president. Don't think about anything current. Let's say you have, and the vice president is very successful. He's a celebrity, make believe, world of fantasy. And the people in the FBI are very jealous of him. So the FBI, they have enormous power and resources, and they do everything in their power secretly to undermine the vice president, because they're just jealous of him. They're jealous that one of their own has not been promoted into that position. Or let's say the CIA is jealous. Or let's say the Supreme Court is jealous. So every department, every division has resources and unique power that no one else has. And they use it to serve themselves, to achieve their own agenda, unbeknownst to anyone else, because for whatever the reasons are, jealousy, and in this case, there was some division of the government of Dariovish HaMadi, who was jealous of Daniel, and they served themselves to undermine him and to make him look bad in the eyes of the king. Dorchu, hechinu l'shoinam kachetz. Now, the word darchu means to pull. Darchu, when it comes to a bow, it's one of the vocabulary words of bow and arrow. Darchu is they press down, you pull the bowstring. It's now going to be a Lag BaOmer. What do you do a Lag BaOmer? Bows and arrows, right? Darchu, Echinu L'Shonim Kachetz, they prepared, they calibrated their tongue like an arrow. Hahu Sam Ala Keshes, that is positioned in the bow. The ace. Dorach Kashta. It means to pull. You pull the bowstring back. The ace he dorchoi. When you pull it back, when you pull back the bowstring, when you basically you arm your weapon, you remove the safety feature. The safety. What is it called? The safety. What is it called?
A safety
switch on a gun, on a weapon. You turn off the switch and you go and you arm the weapon. You arm the weapon. It's armed. Dovar mar lechamis osi bigoiv arayos. So he learns over here. They threw him into the den of lions, and he's saying Darchu Yitzam the Dovar Mar. Rashi says over here, and Mitzvah is over here. I told you it means they dipped their arrow in poison. That's another pshat. The Mitzvah doesn't say that for some reason, and he says over here this whole metaphor is that Darchu Yitzam b'Dovar Mar. They persuaded Daryovish. But usually it was Nebuchadnezzar. He's going, I don't know, you see he's vacillating over here. Begoyv Aroyois was not Daryovish. This was Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
First he says it was Daryovish. Then he goes back and he talks about Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what the Mitzvah is doing. I'm obviously wrong. There's something more I'm missing over here. But he's vacillating. He's vacillating because first he said Daryovish, then he goes back to the Goyv Aroyois. The Goyv Aroyois was Nebuchadnezzar. That was before. Okay, Leroyce, Lahash Lechachetz Ban Mistar. Alatam to throw the arrow secretly on the pure, on the wholesome person, who piss him suddenly yashlichu, he's cast down below yirohu. Now he is a very important translation from the Mitzvah Stavit. This is not obvious. They're not afraid of Hashem. When it says here velo yirohu, they have no fear of God. Okay, that's an understatement. You think it means they have no fear of man. Halavai, your fear of Adam should, your fear of Hashem should be like the fear of man. You know, just because you're an apikoires, there's also safeguards in this world that people are afraid of man. If you commit a crime, person is a card carrying atheist. He's not going to just necessarily go out and kill everyone and do whatever he wants. Because he'll get caught. And if he gets caught, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him regardless of his fear of God. So just because a person is not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, usually there are safeguards in this world that people won't destroy the world because they're afraid of man. They're afraid that they'll be punished, they'll be tortured, they'll be killed, their family will suffer. So you would think that when it says here, V'lo yirohu, if you're dealing with people that are wicked, of course they don't fear Hashem. That's the diploma. The way you become wicked is being not having Yiras Hashem. But then, when they go out and they commit crimes, it's because they're not afraid of getting caught. No, that's not what it says in the Mitzudai Stav. In the Mitzudai Stav, it says, V'lo yirohu, you're not afraid of Hashem. Okay, it goes to show, it's almost like a Freudian slip. What is, you know, when you learn, what is first on your mind? Hashem? Or something else. It's very telling. If only first came to appreciate this much more recently when I heard some speeches on this. Is that when you learn, like, you know, there's a famous story. It's not there was a big rashiva and they were learning in the yeshiva the hasmada, the incredible hasmada, the kol Torah, and suddenly the rashiva gets up, he goes to the bima and he gives a clap on the bima. Quiet, quiet. And he says something, you have to announce something very important. Everyone thought, who knows, someone died? Who knows, something terrible happened? Rabbi Yisai, remember, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, just because you're learning b'hasmada rabba, and you're shuckling, and you're steiging, and you're accomplishing, don't forget, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. You can get lost sometimes. And you know when you learn, I told you that story with the Rebbe over here somewhere in Borough Park. They brought in the I don't know which yeshiva this was. Everything I forget very quickly. And there was a Menahel, and they brought in a new candidate to become a new elementary school Rebbe. and he was and he gave a model lesson for 2 hours, and it was his assistant was with him listening to the model lesson, and after it was over, the assistant said to the principal, "This guy is gold. He's gold. You're not going to get anyone better than this. He's unbelievable, this Rebbe. He got everything. He got it all. He's hired. Give him double his salary to take such. Where are you going to find such a Rebbe?" And the Manal, who's an old-time European, said, "This person will never teach in my yeshiva. Under no condition will this person teach. No way. He's out the door." And the assistant, "What? You lost your mind?" So he said, "I listened to him for 2 hours. He didn't say, he did not mention the Ribbono Shel Olam even once in 2 hours. He taught the children. It was delightful. It was brilliant pedagogical skills. But he did not say Hashem, the Eibishter, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem. He did not mention Hashem even once in 2 hours. That's not how you teach children. So you see a person's Yirah Shemayim, a Freudian slip. It says, V'lo Yirah. The wicked, they're not afraid. So if you don't have Yirah Shemayim, like me, V'lo Yirah, they're not afraid of man. Isn't that the logical shot in the pasuk? They're not afraid of Adam. They're not afraid of Adam. The Mitzvah is David. V'lo, he sees V'lo Yirah, it only means one thing. Not afraid of Hashem. Not afraid of Hashem. Why should you say V'lo Yirah in the pasuk means Adam when you can say it means they're not afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's a Freudian slip of where the Mitzvah David is holding. It's not for nothing. He is a world famous, you know, a classic. He's the first, he's the go-to. And anyone who learns Nach, I mean, he's the go-to man. It's not for nothing. It's, you see, V'lo Yirah. Why should you say it means? You're not afraid of Adam when you can say it means. You're not afraid of the Ribbono. Because that's the first thing that's on the mind of the Mitzvah David. And that's a Musa Haskel. In this world, the first thing we should think about, everything you read in the news, everything that happens, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the first thing. This happens, that happens. So right away, you think, oh yeah, because this, you know, and you make all the calculations. That's secondary. May Hashem Yotza Hadava. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Because Hashem has a plan. What is the plan? No one knows what the plan is, but the first thing is, may Hashem Yotza Hadava. Now you want to go and talk about some politics and this and that, okay. May Hashem Yotza Hadava. Why is the president of this country Joe Biden? May Hashem Yotza Hadava. How did he get here? Okay. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. But the first thing is, why? May Hashem Yotza Hadava. That's why. Everything else is secondary. Weiter. In the Rashi, in the Mitzudais. Yechaziku lama hoyu mechazikim beinem es hadavar hara v'eitza hayu'utza. There was a coup. All of the people in Daryovish or Nebuchadnezzar's cabinet, they were all on the same page. They all together conspired to make it bad, to make life miserable, make the life of Daniel miserable, without Nebuchadnezzar or Daryovish being in the loop. They had no idea. See, this is what I tell you, they say it's like a deep state.
Stealth campaign.
They're going, the Nebuchadnezzar has no clue what's going on over here. And all these people, they're conspiring, they have secret meetings, and they do things in order to ruin his life, to make him difficult, because they just don't like him. They're jealous. They're jealous they've been passed over for Daniel. The Amru, they say, to hide Moikesh, a stumbling block, Al Daniel, the deep state. Okay, the deep state. All of the Sarim have tools and resources and money. And who are they serving? Themselves. And they're the one who they're supposed to serve, the king, he's in the dark. This goes on in every country, in every government. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. It starts.
Manel likes to explain Alice and Tree. It starts with Yosef, and then he goes, you know, he has a long.
That's how it goes. You have it, go study the whole America. Yosef and Daniel, they were both people, servants in a secular, in the world power government that is extremely complex. Every agency in the United States of America was established by a president for a purpose. And that agency reported directly to that president who created the agency. And when that president was voted out of office or his terms expired and a new president came in, the agency no longer reported to the president. They reported to themselves. They kept on going, and they do whatever they want to do. That's exactly what happened with Daniel. Daniel over here is the president's man, and the agencies, they don't like him. So they do whatever they want to go do to make it look bad for Daniel. Okay, I think other Mepharshim say this even more explicitly. Let's see Rashi. So this is the parish of Mitzudos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi's on the same idea as this. Shema Elokim Koli V'Sichi Mizmor. So we already did that. Let's go jump down a few lines. Let's go down where it says over here, Mipachat. Okay, on the first come Mipachat Oyev Elu Ha'Chashtar Penim She Nisyuatzu Olav. This we have in the Megillah. Ha'Chashtar Penim B'nei Horam Achim. Okay, Ho'achashtar Penim.
Ho'achashtar
Okay, I'm all confused.
It's a different puzzle. Ha'achashtaronim b'nei ha'ramochim.
Okay. Shenis yoatsu olav shenemar adayin sorechaya va'achashtar penayo havo v'ayin ilo lehash. I don't know what these words mean. That means then Sarchaya. Okay, these are two different agencies. The Sarchaya. These are two different divisions, two different agencies. The CIA and the NSA. Okay, that's how we'll translate them. These are the two divisions. Havo va'ayin ila. They were in a conspiracy. Ila. They were in some type of. They were together. In an ilah, an accusation, la ash kochol li Daniel, in order that Daniel should be forgotten.
They were looking for something to.
An excuse. An ilah is an excuse. Right? They were looking, havo va'ayin, they were looking. They were searching for va'ayin, like to seek out an ilah, a pretext. A pretext in order to get rid of him. He should be terminated. Daniel should be. So we have two agencies, the Sarchaya and the Achashtar Penaya. Two of the agencies of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar were seeking Vo'ayin, were looking like the an eye, Ilah, for a pretext, Lehashkocha, Le Daniel, that Daniel should be forgotten, which is a nice way of saying that he should be terminated. He should be, in today 21st century terminology, he should be deplatformed. Deplatformed. I remember the first time I heard the word to deplane. Deplane. What does that word mean? It means you're on an airplane and the plane lands and now it's time to leave the plane. You can go back or you can go to get off the plane. How do you say to get off the plane and go to customs? To deplane. Oh, that's what it means. So now I learned a new word. It's called to de-platform, which means it means get off. It means
you,
but it's too long, so to de-platform. The modern word, it means you're censored from your social social media or from your podium. Like Tucker Carlson has been de-platformed from Fox News. Okay, if you've been censored by Twitter, you've been de-platformed. A person that has a platform that is able to preach and to promote his agenda when it has been decided that he shall be eliminated, he shall be removed, it's called in the 21st century to be to de-platform. So here, as more things change, the more they stay the same, Nebuchadnezzar had many government agencies that did not like Daniel Ish Hamudos, and they conspired to find an ila, an excuse, a pretext for lehashkocha, and we would translate that word today in the 21st century to deplatform Daniel. The new translation, the old English. This is the new English.
It sounds like more than you just eliminate, like he's wiped off.
Right.
Wiped,
yeah.
No. When the CIA wipes you off, you can go on that is an existence. Non-existence.
You don't exist. Exactly.
Who was it?
A person has influence. A person has influence. And to take, you have to remove their influence from society, however that needs to be done. Some have to be killed. Some people that just have to be shut down their social media accounts. Some people have to be removed from their job. It just take away their koyach of influence. They were jealous of Daniel, and they conspired to have him removed. David over here is not talking about himself. According to the mitzvahs, according to Rashi, David, these psukim that we read from Aleph through Pasuk Vav, David is describing the tsar of his anakel, the ur or anakel Daniel. He's describing the pain that he's suffering, that the people that he works with in his role are trying to eliminate his influence. And how are they doing it? They're doing it stealthily. They're doing it with sophistication behind the scenes, and Nebuchadnezzar, the one that he reports to, doesn't even know what's going on. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating when you have a situation like that, when you have a job and you're very good at your job, and the people that you're working with are very jealous, and they're undermining you to your boss, and they're making you look bad to the people that pay you your salary and give you your bonuses. And when they make you look bad, then when it comes time for the bonuses, you're not going to get your bonus, even though that you have outperformed them, because they made you look bad. That's exactly what it's saying over here. Pasuk Gimel, Me'irikshas Polei Oven. From now we learn, what does it mean, Me'irikshas? Shehei Misrakshim Levakesh Loi Alilois Maves Kilosiv Hargishu Al Malka. Rashi here is very clever. He doesn't want to translate the word. He doesn't want to translate the word. We learned in the Mitzvah stuff that it means to gather together, to convene in secret meetings. And then, when according to the other Mefarish, we learn it means to rebel. But he doesn't really want to translate it. Either Lama means to have emotion. Lama Rokshu Goyim. They're all passionate. They're all excited. So whatever the word means, all pretty much the same idea. They're motivated. All of the people that are with Daniel, they're all very passionate, motivated to have him eliminated. Pasuk Dalne and Rashi next. Dorcho Chitzim Hu Lishonam Hara Lirois Bamistodim Tom Yeru Bichitzehem. They shoot with their arrows, and here the arrows means their words, their nasty comments, their emails, their text messages, their WhatsApp messages, all the good stuff. They want, and they write, they shoot off nasty things which are damaging to Daniel. Yisabru litmoin moikshim. They speak litmoin moikshim. This doesn't really fit well with this word litmoin. Yidabru lamelech ba'arma. They speak to the king with deceit. Devarim timunim shafilu hamelech lo hevin lama hayu oisim kain. Okay, so they speak, Rashi over here is difficult to understand what he's thinking over here. They basically, they're when they talk to the king, they lie, or they do things, and even the melech, what are you doing? What do you do the whole day? Right, the president says to the CIA, what do you guys do the whole day? I never told you, I didn't give you any jobs, we're paying you billions of dollars, I don't have anything over here on my schedule where I've asked you to get intelligence on the Russians and the Chinese. So what are you guys doing the whole day? Don't you know? We're spying on you. We're spying on you and your children. Okay, Sandy, I didn't, the princes, the officers of Nebuchadnezzar are doing things that even Nebuchadnezzar doesn't even know what they're doing. And it seems that Nebuchadnezzar is afraid of them. And that's taka true. In all major, in all countries, the head of state many times is afraid of his own people. He does it because they have these incredible tools and power. Who knows what they're doing? So, you know, don't rock the boat. You don't rock the boat. That's what it says over here in the Rashi. Yidabri el HaMelech, the princess, his officers, they speak to the king, be'orma, with deceit. Devadim temunim, matters that are hidden. Shafilu HaMelech loy haven lama hayu oisim kach. Isn't it strange? Ve'heim hayu mischavnim litmoin lidoniel moikshim. They're planting evidence, false evidence, in order to be a stumbling block for Daniel, lihilakeid boch, and that Daniel should be trapped and he should fall, he should look bad, so that the melech will fire him, get rid of him. Sh'amru l'dayavish, ish yo'atu, is yo'atu kol sorchei malchusa l'kayama kiyamalka. So this was the plan. This is referring over here is that all of the people, the sorchei malka means the, again, like one of the agencies, one of the legislators, the people who work in government, they all is yo'atu. I think they all have legislated that no one should daven l'kayama k'yamalka shlo yispalel shum adam tefila so lifnei shum elo ka elo ah, any god, okay, any god chutz mimcha ad shloshim yom. They came, the legislator came to the king and said, sign this bill. Congress has passed a law that the only one that people can pray to is you, the king. You, the king. No one is allowed to pray to any god. All the churches have to be shut down, all the synagogues, all the whatever, the Islam, all the mosques. The only one that the people in this country for 30 days, they can only pray to you, the king. So the king says, very nice, I like that. They want to daven to me. I'm a god. Very good. Why? What's the reason you passed this law? Like who asked you? Who asked you? Who asked you to go? It's very nice. They want to go bow down to me for 30 days. Okay, very. Who asked you to Congress and the House to legislate such nonsense? Who asked you? So they basically say to the king, mind your own business. Mind your business. Just sign the bill. Just sign the bill. You're already senile. You're already sleep. You're ready. You're ready. Just be happy. We don't take you out. Just sign the bill. What? Understand. And the king is basically afraid to ask because. What? Why? I don't know why. Maybe because more than 30 days would be too much. The people wouldn't tolerate. Maybe because people have to go to church and they have to go to the mosque. For 30 days, there'll be a rebellion in the country. You got to know how to play the game. Okay? It's like a Goldilocks. Politics like Goldilocks. Not too hard, not too soft, not too cold, not too warm. You have to know how to get your agenda through without rocking the boat. So maybe more than 30 days, there'll be an uprising. Okay? So 30 days. And what was the whole Kavanah? This is what we started with Rashi in the beginning. This is a
declare prayer to the king.
And no one else. What's the reason? So the secret agenda is, and this is very, very powerful, and there it just goes to show how much power we have, is they understood that the koyach hatfila, the goyim sometimes understand our milos better than we appreciate them. And they fully understood that when Daniel ish chamudos davens to Hashem with kavana, Hashem answers, Hashem listens, and Hashem answers his prayer. And whatever Daniel is mispalel to Hashem, Hashem answers. We cannot allow this person to pray. Now to say that publicly, it would not go off well. That's discrimination. So, they have like, you know, that's like paro. Kol ha-bein ha-yiloid ha-yo-oira tash-li-chu. I know that a Jewish child is going to be born, but I don't want it's a cover-up. So you know what? It's kedai, it's worthy that even the Egyptians should take their children and throw there's one mahalach. Let's say we don't even know if it's from the goyim, from us, from them. But there's one mahalach, I think in the middle, maybe I'm wrong, is that in order to cover up, he issued a global decree. Even the Egyptians have to throw their babies into the Yam in order that it should not be discriminatory. It's like Nine Paro said, there's going to be a person that's going to be born today that's going to destroy this country. It's a Jew. So you don't want to go focus on the Jews. You just say that our stargazers have revealed that today is born a person that will destroy this country, and therefore we have no choice. We have no choice. Everyone has to do this.
Or just don't take any chances.
Okay, whatever. So this was the same exact thing. Over here they had a plan. The plan was directed against one person only. One person was against the hatred for Daniel. The jealousy for one person went so far that they issued a law for that the whole country is not allowed to pray. Who do they really care about? One person. That's politics.
Right.
You have a personal agenda, and you pass laws that affect every citizen in the country just to serve yourself. Welcome to the world of politics. All the Jews. Very good. Mordechai is saying very good. Who did Haman really want to kill? Okay, so I mean, this is a little controversial. What you're saying is that did Haman really want to kill all the Jews? Or did Haman want to kill one person? He wanted to kill one person, Mordechai. So you know what? We'll kill all the Jews. And that way, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. This is politics 101. Politics, when you're in power, you have an agenda for yourself. And not about me. You pass for the whole country, every living creature, just to serve yourself. That's the way it goes. That's what it's saying. This is exactly. So the Nebuchadnezzar, what? What's this Mishigas here? The whole country? Only to daven to me? All right, I'm not going to fight. 30 days, I'm not going to fight with you. Okay, so I'll sign it. Even Nebuchadnezzar did not understand that the entire law was targeting one person. Daniel Ish Hamudas, they were makir, his koyach hatzfilah. And the same way, the Neil has every Jew has the Koyach HaTfilah. It's incredible stuff. This Rashi, how Rashi, you read the intrigue of Rashi. Now, who else said this pshat that we're dealing over here? We had three people who said this.
The Neil. Arabs don't let you
daven on the. You should know that's right. They go and they're loudspeakers. They're mishigas. They turn on. They do it on purpose in order to annoy us. They have these what are these this music? I don't even know what it is.
Well, what you're saying is not to annoy us. It's to
disrupt our kavana.
It's not just annoying, it's a disrupting of the tefillah.
It's a disruption, exactly. They do that at the most important times. Now, we had over here three mahalach, let's see, the chaymas anoch, because these were the three people who learned the same mahalach in this psukim. Let's go back to chaymas anoch on page 549, in the middle, pasuk, in the middle. Shema, jump down four lines. Shema Elokim Kol V'Sichi U'Feirush Harav HaChosid Morenu Harav Rabbi Yosef Yavetz V'Feirush HaShalif Yishash Shmias HaTefilah. Can we read this ready? Teluya B'Kavonas Alev Ka'amroi Tachin Libam Takshiv Oznecha V'Ulai Mipachtoi Lo Yuchal L'Chavin Kiroi Omar Shema. So therefore Danilo was saying is Hashem, they're trying to prevent me from davening. Shema Elokim Kol V'Sichi Mipachar Elu HaChashtar Penim Titzor chayoi, v'lo yomar titzor nishmosi, ki yodati shim tishlam atzosom, if they succeed in their plan, navshi telech leor boor. If they catch me davening to Hashem, which I did, that's what happened. He got caught. Daniel got caught. He got caught davening. They passed this law just to set him up. And then they sent their spies, and look at that, he's davening to Hashem. Oh, guilty, guilty, guilty. He has to be executed, throw him into the lions. L'chein lo yavakish ki malchaya. That's why he's dying for his life. Okay, so you know, in each one of the mefarshim, they give you, you know, a composite. You look at what Rashi says, you look at the Chumash Sanach, and you look at the Mitzudos, they give you a composite of what's really going on over here, is that there's a conspiracy against Daniel. Because Daniel, they were jealous of him. Basically, they were jealous of him, and they knew his secret power. You know, it's like Shimshon Hagibor. What was his koyach? His hair. Kadosh Yehiye Gadel Perasaroshai. Okay, the Niels here is Kodesh. Kadosh Yehiye Gadel Perasaroshai. That's where his sanctity came from. The sanctity came from the long the here, and they didn't know. And they just kept on wondering. The Delilah kept on, was it Delilah kept on asking him the questions? Okay, Delilah and Samson. But in the 21st century, Rav Michal told this to me, we don't say Delilah and Samson. We say Delilah and Samsung. All the smartphones are made, the good smartphones are made by Samsung. Samsung. That's not Samson. Samson. Not Sam. With an O and an N, not a U and a G. Okay, so children today don't know who Samson is. So they say, oh, you mean Samsung. Okay, so.
Not the
what? Oh, okay. All right, so we have Shimshon was the Gadol Perasaroshai. Okay, that was the secret until finally he revealed the secret. He had extra special koyach superpowers. So here as well, what is the superpower of Daniel? Where does his hatzlacha come to be? He was everything, the whole government. It was a one-man show. Okay, it's like the Abarbanel. You ran the whole government. One-man show. Where does it come from? The Koyach HaTfilah. The Koyach HaTfilah. He ran the show. What was Yosef's Koyach? Good question. What was Yosef's Koyach? Yosef ran the whole... He ran everything. He ran for... H.S. Potiphar. What was his Koyach? Es Elokim Ani Yorei. Is Yira Shemayim. Eishes Potifar tried to take away that Yiras Elokim. By having him be Nichshol in Gilead Ayos, that was his, you have to, is that Koyach, or was it maybe, he was Shomer Habris in the Ervas Oretz, that was his Koyach of success. Every person has a certain superpower, and that superpower has to be God. You have to figure out what your superpower is. Everyone has their unique Koyach. That's the way it is. Every person has their thing. And why? And you have to figure out what is the root of your success and guard it for dear life. And everyone is different. Everyone is different.
I'm not
going to
answer Hashem.
Will answer Shlomo Power. What was Yosef's superpower? So L'choira, you have to see what they're trying to take away from him. That's L'choira, that's the Nisayim. A Shimshai Nagibar, it was obviously he was a Nazir. The fact that he was a Nazir Elokim, that was his Koyach. That was Nazirus. It doesn't matter, so he has to guard the Nazirus. And as long as he guarded his Nazirus, he had his superpower. When it came to Daniel Ish Hamudos, what was his superpower? The Koyach HaTzfilah. Guard it. Well, if the whole day they're blaring sirens, and disrupting your kavana, and they pass laws that if you're caught davening, they'll kill you, and they have spies. Wherever Daniel goes, they're watching that he shouldn't stop and daven mincha. That's his superpower. Yosef HaTzadik was very successful. What was his superpower? It would appear he was a Shomer Habris. He was guarded Gili Arayos. He was very, very super powerful. Alei Shur.
Volume.
Goes together.
Great loyal to his father, you know, that he still remembered the Torah he learned with him.
It goes, but where do you find his Nisayon?
His image appeared to him.
But when did Hashem appear to him? Hashem appeared to him at what point in time? You learn about a person's superpower when you see what they're trying to take away from him. And what are they trying to take away from Yosef? Ages Potiphar, the Nisayon was to be Nichshol in Gili Arayos, which you need, it's all Yerushalayim, which you call today. That concept,
all these things,
they're called Shomer Habris.
Contradict all these different...
Every person, this was that you see people...
Yorei Hashem, whether it's loyalty to his father.
But specifically, hone in on what is his Nisayon in life. Every person, there are certain people you see, there are people out there that have a very big problem with Noshim. You see, these people, they get into a lot of trouble. They just have this, they have this weakness. I mean, everyone has a weakness when it comes to that. But certain people, it's out of control. And other people, their big problem is money. You see people get caught, and they're very embarrassed. And you see they struggle. The people who struggle with money not necessarily have a problem with noshim. Okay? They're able to overcome that. And they get into a lot of trouble with money. They just can't control themselves, and they have people that have a problem with everything.
Remember, an Italian once mentioned, oh, they got another rabbi. So he said, yeah, the rabbi, that's for money. But they get you for murder.
Okay, everyone has their nisayon, and here, Daniel, his koyach, his superpower was the koyach of tefillah, and here they're conspiring together, and all of these lishonis are all an explanation of how they're coming to take him down. This is the mahalik of Rashi, really, should we be going out of time? We have to start now. But this is the mahalik of Rashi, the Mitzudois and the Chomus Anach. They're the only three that say this, and each one is filling in a little bit of the details to create this composite of how to read these psukim, where David over here is seeing a vision of his oranikel, Daniel, 500 years later, he's seeing what's happening, how they're conspiring against him, and David over here is expressing Daniel's frustration in David's own words. Let's stop here, take a very short break, and we'll go to a little bit about the parsha, together with Pesach Sheni. Today is Pesach Sheni.